Hello, and welcome to my very first podcast for OncoLS. This is pod one of the seventh edition. The OncoLS monographs have become a useful reference guide to some of the companies working to provide new therapies and treatments within veterinary oncology. The panel of oncologists employed by OncoLS absorb the information provided and give their thoughts and questions. The companies then have a chance to answer those questions, providing a more tailored technical brief rather than just a purely advertising newsletter. Now, I know that previous monographs have been rather too long to read in one go, and they then get buried before you have a chance to revisit them. From now on, they'll be published roughly weekly, featuring one company each week. It should only take a few minutes to scan each one and see if it's relevant to you. If you want to revisit a previous version, there are links provided to enable downloads. Hence, the part one. And secondly, I'll be recording the monographs in an audio file, as you can hear. This should enable you to stream or download the file and listen to the edition at your convenience. This week features LifePulse Bio and their guidance and protocol for electrochemotherapy. So here we go. Number one, the best practice is to select a specific day of the week for this procedure. This will help you dedicate the necessary resources and be able to prepare in advance for therapeutic selection, anesthesia, and staffing. Two, prepare the anesthesia and therapeutics for each animal ahead of time. If you are unfamiliar with how to calculate the dose, you can access the dosing calculator on the website or input the animal's information on the login screen of the unit and it will calculate dosing for you. This can all be done the morning of the procedure day. We suggest placing the drugs in a plastic bag attached to the chart to make administration simpler. Three, start the LifePulse unit. Input patient information, install the electrode cartridge. This will allow the handle to become warm and abbreviate the tissue heating process. It can continue to run for an unlimited amount of time without damage. Four, start an IV in the animal to be treated and prepare your treatment area stroke room. Make certain that no part of the animal touches metal during the procedure, and we suggest using plastic leads on your monitor. Most practices use towels or blankets to remove the risk of contact with metal. Five, begin anesthesia on the patient and intubate the animal if you choose. We do suggest always intubating brachycephalic breeds. Shave the area to be treated, including a 1 centimeter margin around the tumor or resected area. Six, now you just need to follow the on-screen instructions. So, inject the tumour with calculated volume of chemotherapeutic agent using lateral injections from the margin to the centre of the tumour bed at a 6 millimeter spacing. Withdraw the needle as you inject so the therapeutic is distributed evenly as possible. There has been some debate regarding IV versus intralesional use of cytotoxic drugs. The ultimate decision over administration is up to the clinician. However, we do not recommend IV use unless you plan to wait the commensurate time to allow it to migrate to the treatment area. Since we have no way of currently measuring this and knowing it can take from 8 to 23 minutes for efficacy, we recommend using IL injections only. We have achieved excellent results with this protocol, and Dr. Richard Heller has published on the matter. Should you wish to use IL-12 or another therapeutic, please reach out to LifePulse directly for protocols as they differ from standard electrochemotherapy. So to carry on, wait the prescribed time for the drug to diffuse through the tumour. Place the electrode where you will start the procedure and continue to follow the on-screen instructions. Begin by pressing the button to initiate pulsing. When the device detects impedance, as signified by 3 beeps and a flashing red light, move the electrode to the adjacent tissue. We suggest moving in a concentric circle from 1 centimetre outside the margin until you end up in the centre of the tumour bed. You may cross-patch, which is a process of turning the electrode 90 degrees before moving to the next field, but the device is reading impedance in real time, so it may not be necessary. If you do this, do not be alarmed if the device does not pulse. Since it has already read impedance in the field you just pulsed, there may be no more permeability to be achieved. The electrode coming in version 2 will not require cross-patching because of the way the electrode pattern addresses the tissue. Oh, and do not use ultrasound gel, as this will disrupt the electrical field, making it more difficult for the camera to read impedance and may cause a negative outcome. So number 7, follow the normal recovery protocol for an animal under anaesthesia, and you may prescribe a short, i.e. 2 to 3 day round of steroids in the event of swelling. This is unlikely, but may be better to err on the side of caution. And number 8, after each procedure, the device will cycle off after 90 seconds and revert to the login screen for your next case. There's a note on tumour selection. Best tumours are palpable, well circumscribed, and easy to access with the electrode. This is because it is desirable that the tumour can be injected with a chemotherapeutic or other agent, and also be accessible for complete treatment with electric fields. It is important to keep in mind that only the cells within the volume delineated by the electrodes will receive electrical treatment. Metastatic tumours can be treated with ECT and IL-12 depending on the mass. Melanoma is the best selection for this, but others may be treated, such as mast cell tumours. And now for the comments from the panel and the responses from LifePulse Bio. Firstly, the thoughts on the presentation. Very detailed information on how to use it. Based on conversations with others who are using ECT, everyone agrees to schedule all cases on one day each week. I appreciate having detailed instructions for how to use, as that's something that's been lacking in all my experiences with ECT in the past. They do seem kind of one size fits all. Are there concerns with variable overall efficacy and or the penetration of bleomycin in different tissue types or different histologies? And the response, that's a great question. This is not about tumour type, but just tissue in general, which is solved by the use of real-time impedance feedback. You will notice the machine may pulse once or as many as 5 or 6 times, depending on the tissue being treated. This prevents over or under treating and makes certain delivery of the chosen therapeutic is achieved. It is more about case selection, which is part of the initial training. And to carry on, this is excellent and helpful. I appreciate the SOP for use. It will help encourage uniformity in treatment protocols, which may make future data easier to interpret. I had missed the first presentation in the OncoLS edition 6, which referred to the efficacy for treatment of certain tumour types with this procedure. This is a very detailed protocol for use, which is definitely needed. Given the problem of radiation therapy availability, it would allow us to treat so many more patients that need some form of treatment. This unit is particularly interesting since it does appear to use hypothermia as part of the treatment, and this has been a topic of treatment in the past, both as a local therapy and a systemic therapy. And the reply, you are correct. The introduction of moderate heat and measuring impedance have solved the issues of traditional ECT and enabled the use of less than half the voltage while achieving superior delivery. And then to move on to some of the questions, which is concerns and clarifications. Can you use this on scars? The dosing describes measuring tumours, but wondering if you can use this on scars and how would you dose those? And the answer, yes, it is routinely used on fully or partially resected tumours. The dosing is similar, However, in some cases, you may be measuring in two dimensions instead of three. The version 2 of this device will have a dosing calculator on the user interface. You will simply input the tumor dimensions, type of therapeutic, and weight of the animal, and it will calculate it for you. Is there any other IT chemotherapy evaluated besides bleomycin? We have used cisplatin in some cases, but primarily in equine medicine. Bleomycin is used in the vast majority of companion animal cases. Are there differences in administration or the use for gross disease versus treating scars? I still have concerns about efficacy of a one-size-fits-all treatment in different tumour types. I'm assuming the impedance reading is meant to help with that, but I'd certainly like to see some more data on that specifically. Yes, measuring dosage for a scar is somewhat different and obviously requires less drug. If you can feel the tumour and raise it enough to get an accurate measurement of how deep it is, you will get a better response. We would also suggest using needles when possible, especially if the mass is more than half a centimetre below the surface. Version 2 of the device will have a data component that you can bring into your EMR that will, for the first time, begin to gather data on prevalence rates and details of each treatment, so we can create a clearinghouse of data that will ultimately run via AI. This will remove all mystery from the modality and give us similar data to human medicine. Is there any data regarding which tumour histologies and settings, i.e. gross or microscopic disease, this has most commonly been used for? The application is procedurally the same, except the drug calculation is obviously going to be different if you are in two dimensions. The settings are determined by electrode selection, which is part of the training. Each of them will call up a different voltage, but heat and impedance remain constant. The combination of those two prevent injury when treating microscopic disease. We have done many of these since March of 2022 and can provide references to them if you would like. My main concern is always the safety of the staff and clients when using intralesional chemotherapeutic drugs. I know that other machines require the same processes and are in use. It would be more ideal to try to be able to use IV chemotherapy drugs so as to avoid the exposure risk. I would also be interested in knowing more about the risks of developing wounds due to tumour necrosis and how these may be managed. The risk of necrosis is greatly mitigated by lower voltage and control of the pulses necessary for delivering using real-time impedance feedback. The data on IV use only indicates intralesional is necessary at this time. However, we have a patented and trademarked electrode coming this fall that will allow treatment without a therapeutic, and is actually proving to be more effective than any combination of drugs and electrical fields. In all cases, proper PPE is required, and with a little experience, you will find exposure to be minimal. Unfortunately, there is no way to measure availability of IV chemotherapy at the site, and the wait time for use ranges from 8 to 23 minutes, so I'm sure you can see the quandary there. Our scientists have studied this for more than 15 years, and found the best method of delivery for optimum outcomes is with IL injections. And then the next section, any experience of what was discussed? Not directly, but I work with an oncologist that does ECT. She often does it on incompletely excised tumours and treats the scars. I have only one experience with ECT, and it was a tumour that had more significant wound formation following treatment. It was not using this machine. I've personally been involved in many treatments using the old modality and indeed have seen some significant wound formation and excessive necrosis in many cases. It is still possible with our device, but when performed correctly with a little experience, it produces very little to none. And then thoughts for the future. It would be good to see studies evaluating other chemotherapy agents and their effectiveness when combined with ECT. And I know it takes a while to obtain, but efficacy data compared to radiation therapy. There are actually some available, and at some point soon we should have them available on our website. Efficacy data would be extremely helpful. Electric chemotherapy is often used in situations where radiation therapy is not, typically due to cost or time constraints. It would be helpful to be able to guide owners and help them make a more informed decision, e.g. electric chemotherapy is 75% as effective as radiation, but 50% of the cost. In solid, accessible tumours, electric chemotherapy with our technology has very high objective responses. The key is case selection. A good case for electric chemotherapy is going to have a great outcome, but it is not for every tumour. For example, mast cell tumours that have metastases and have a large primary tumour is not going to be a good case for ECT. Partially or fully resected tumours are very high responders. There are more than a dozen others that are indicated. And just as a footnote, it will be considerably cheaper than radiation therapy. Another comment, I would love to see more data in regards to efficacy and safety. I would have interest in using ECT with this particular machine. Yes, there will be a great deal coming over the next few years. Anyone interested in using the machine or wanting to know more should reach out to LifePulse Bio. They are able to bring a device along to the hospital and help you to do some cases. And there we go. That is the end of my first podcast. I do hope you found it interesting. If you've got any questions, you know where to find me. And have a great day.